Good morning. Before I begin, the title for our message today is Prayer, Conversation, and Encounter with God. And the verse taken is from Job 42, verse 5, where we have just read, I have heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, and now my eye seeth thee. Before I start, I'd like to relate a familiar story that was told of a preacher who went to heaven, and he was standing in line at the pearly gates. Peter was there allocating the accommodation, and before him was a bus driver, and Peter said, welcome, see that 16 room mansion over there on the hilltop, it is yours. The preacher standing next in line said to himself, wow, if the bus driver has a 16-room mansion on the hilltop, I can't wait for my reward. So he stepped right up to Peter, who said to him, ah, so you are the preacher. See that little hut over there in the valley down there? It's yours. The preacher was stunned, and he blurted out, Peter, I don't understand. All these years I gave my life to preaching, and all I get is a little heart. And this bus driver, what did he ever do to deserve a 16-room mansion in heaven? So to this, Peter solemnly replied, my dear friend, when you preach, people sleep. But when this bus driver drives, the people prayed. So you know this is not a true story, but there's a kernel of truth in it. So one of the most critical reasons to pray is that the church is built upon prayer. Pastor Lim preached from this last, I think, two sermons ago, where he spoke from Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 tells us that prayer is absolutely essential to the church. Acts chapter 2 says, and they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and in breaking of bread and in prayers. The Greek word for doctrine is actually instruction. The church followed the instructions given in that they pray. They also had fellowship. And last week we spoke about fellowship, and we are exhorted to gather ourselves together, to assemble ourselves and to exhort one another to good works. And there was also breaking of bread, to remind ourselves of what the Lord has done for us. And while all these are important, prayers comes first and foremost. The early church prayed. How did they pray? They prayed individually. They prayed corporately with the Word of God, earnestly, fervently, and with thanksgiving. These were recorded for us in the Acts of the Apostles. And in the following chapters in Acts, we are told that God blessed the early church in answer to what they prayed. First, they pray for boldness to speak the word of God. When they were facing danger, threats, they pray for boldness to speak the word of God. Acts chapter 4, verse 29. They also pray for healing and deliverance. In Acts chapter 3, verse 2 to 9, we were told that Peter healed the lame man at the gate called Beautiful. And in Acts 5, verse 16, I won't refer to the verses, you may want to look at them. We are told that not only he healed the lame man, but he healed the multitudes, meaning lots of people. And most important, they pray for strength to forgive. forgiveness is very lacking, and we need to pray for strength to forgive. Stephen himself, in Acts chapter 7, verse 59 to 60, the last two verses, Stephen himself prayed for forgiveness for those who martyred him. Sometimes when someone says a hurting word to us, we cannot take it. Right? But Stephen, when he was martyred, in his dying breath, he asked for forgiveness for his persecutors. And God also answered their prayers by raising the dead. Peter himself raised Dorcas after she died from her illness. In Acts chapter 9, verses 36 to 42, it's quite a lot of verses there. Our God is the same God who hears and answers prayers, even today. I came across an article. You can Google that, but don't get distracted after that. It tells of how God still answers prayer in our present generation. This story was told by a missionary doctor. And she related this. There was another missionary to Zaire by the name of Dr. Helen Rosevale. And she told this story. There was a mother at the mission station where she was working, and the mother died after giving birth to a premature baby. So this Dr. Helen said, "We tried to improvise an incubator to keep the infant alive, but the only hot water bottle we had was beyond repair. So we asked the children at the orphanage where she was to pray for the baby and for her sister. One of the girls responded and said, 'Dear God, please send a hot water bottle today, for tomorrow will be too late, because by then, the baby will be dead. And dear Lord, please also send a doll for the sister so she won't feel so lonely.'" That's quite an audacious prayer, right, I would think. But that's how children pray. That afternoon, a large package arrived from England. The children watched eagerly as we opened the package, and much to their surprise, under some clothing was a hot water bottle. Immediately, the girl who had prayed so earnestly started to dig deeper, exclaiming, "If God has sent that, I'm sure He also sent the doll." And she was right. The Heavenly Father knew in advance of their child's sincere request. And 5 months earlier, it took a long time because those days they sent by ship. 5 months earlier, he had led a ladies' group to include both of these specific items. So some of us are busy preparing for the Philippines mission. I can see a lot of things. Some of the items may have been prepared 6 months ahead for the needy. We don't know. This inspiring story was told actually by in an email in the article, in the reference I sent you just now. Prayer is a very difficult subject to share, actually. Despite many messages, articles, books, testimonies, even as I stand here, I feel a sense of personal inadequacy because of our own limitations. The key word I say is personal. While our God is one who answers prayer, He is also a personal God. And while He chose to answer the prayer of one person, He may answer another similar request in another way. In fact, sometimes in a totally different way. So you need a hot water bottle, you may have to expect some other things. But it's always clear, one thing is clear to me, that whatever God answers is the best answer, even though we may not know it at that time. Notwithstanding that God does answer prayer, and even a miraculous one, We know there are situations where God seems far away. Dr. Richard Seisler, in his book, Letters to a Young Doctor, wrote the most beautiful and compassionate description of his patients and the human dramas that they encounter. Perhaps Elder Sim can start writing a book too. I'm sure he has a lot. In the book, he said, most of us seem to be protected by an imaginary membrane that shields us from horror. That's what he wrote in the book. And as we walk in and through this membrane every day, we are hardly aware of its presence. Then as the years roll by, one day it happens. Without a warning, this membrane breaks and horror seeps into a person's life. It could be the loss of a loved one, afflictions, a sickness, or any calamities. And this results in a theological crisis. And we ask ourselves, is God still there? I read a true account of Richard Seisler. I read another account of Dr. Jerry White. Some of you the name may be familiar. Dr. Jerry White was the president of the Navigators, a worldwide organization dedicated to knowing Christ and making him known. Dr. White and his wife, Mary, are wonderful people who love the Lord and live by the dictates of Scripture, but they had their share of suffering. Their son, Steve, drove a taxi for several months while seeking a career in broadcasting. But he never achieved his dream. Steve was murdered late one night by a deranged passenger in the unusually quiet city of Colorado Springs. The killer was a known felon and drug abuser who had a long history of criminal activity. And when he was apprehended, the police learned that he had called for the cab with the intent of shooting whoever arrived to pick him up. Any number of drivers could have responded, but Steve White took that call, and it was random brutality, beyond any rhyme or reason, and it occurred within a family that had honored and served God for years. The great theologians of the world can contemplate such matters, but they are not likely to produce any satisfying explanation. When I read this, having seen how God answers prayer, and sometimes he doesn't seem to, I conclude there are basically two kinds of prayer. First, when we talk to some Christians, they tell you prayer is a means to experience God's love and peace. We often hear this from fellow Christians. It's not a wrong view, it's a good view. And they give testimonies of feeling surrounded by divine presence and the joy and peace they experience when they pray. But there's another group, in contrast, sees prayer as a struggle. I think most of us will. And not a personal reflection of God. And their fervent supplication is to obey God in bringing to fruition God's plan in our world and in our own lives. The psalm that we just read for meditation earlier, you can see that's one of them. This becomes clearer as we look at the book of Psalms, the inspired prayer book of the Bible. The first kind of prayer, I describe it as conversation with God, where we have as though we talk to a friend when we want to chat with him. And the other is what I call encounter with God. So conversation with God, we can see, there are lots of examples, there are 150 of them. I just picked three, Psalm 27, Psalm 63, and Psalm 117. And we will just read the first verse. Here's the psalmist seeks to communicate with God, to have to chat with as a friend. Let's read Psalms 27, verse 1. It says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid?" It gives you a lot of reassurance. Psalm 63, verse 1, usually a nice prayer to pray for pastoral prayer. It says, "O God, thou art my God. Early will I seek thee. My soul thirsteth for thee. My flesh longeth for thee in a dry and thirsty land where no waters is." We look at one more, verse 117. 1 and 2, verse 1 and 2, verses 1 and 2. "O praise the Lord, all ye nations. Praise him, all ye people. For his merciful kindness is great toward us, and the truth of the Lord endureth forever. Praise ye the Lord." Incidentally, Psalm 117 is the shortest psalm among the 150 psalms. And it's good if we can memorize it. There are actually five psalms, Psalm 146 to 150, collectively known as the Hallelujah Psalms. In these psalms, we can see how the psalmist rejoices in the Lord as he seeks to communicate with the Almighty God. But there are, however, more psalms of complaints, of cries for help, and calls for God to exercise his power in the world. This is what I consider encounter with God. By the way, last Saturday we had the SAF, and I asked the SAFers, what is the favorite, what's the activity, most favorite activity among Singaporeans? And we all thought food, right? But actually, it's complain. Singaporeans are the best complainers. So we look at here, the psalmist is not without exception. Psalms of complaint or cries for help. Let's look at some of them. Psalm 10. Just now we read Psalm 12. Psalm 10, the psalmist asks, "Why standest thou afar off, O Lord? Why hidest thyself in times of trouble?" Psalm 13 asks, "How long wilt thou forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me?" Psalm 88, "O Lord of my salvation, I have cried day and night before thee." We can see the stark contrast of these two types of psalm. The first is a reflection of God's goodness and greatness. And in the second type, the psalmist asks, why does God seem so afar off when we are afflicted, when we are in pain, in trouble? Are these our experiences too? Let's come back now to the fundamental question. Is there a need for prayer? You just need to come to our Wednesday night prayer meeting, and I think the answer is there. We would like to see 20% of you all here at the prayer meeting. It is absolutely necessary, because we ask, even our Lord Jesus himself need to pray. Why did Jesus pray? First, the Trinity is in constant and perfect communication. They are in perfect communion with one another. So even Jesus communicate with the Heavenly Father, how much more we need to. It sets also the example for us to do so, to be in constant communion with our God. Let's turn to Ephesians chapter 1, verse 16 to 17. Maybe we can read this together. This is Paul's exhortation on the reason for prayer. Please turn to Ephesians 1, verse 16. Let's read together. Ephesians 1, 16, Paul says, "Cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him," in the knowledge of God. What prayer is not? You can see from here, prayer is not a way to get things from God. What prayer is? Prayer is a way to get more of God. More of God. When we pray in this manner, when we pray to have more of God, God will honor our prayers. Why is prayer hard? I'll read for you from 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 6 and 7, 6 to 7, three verses, but you can follow me. Peter said, they were having lots of persecution in that time, and Peter said to the people that he was ministering to, and Peter said in verse 6, "Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you are in heaviness through manifold temptations." Verse 7, "that the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ, whom having not seen, ye love, in whom now ye see him not, yet believing, ye rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory." This experience can happen only through prayer, both publicly in the Christian assembly, like what we do, and privately in meditation and contemplation of God's word. Conversations with God leads to encounters with God. This involves not only the affections of our heart, but convictions. We are not called to choose between a Christian life based on truth or doctrine, or a life filled with spiritual power and experience. Both go together. We will need to have conversations as well as encounter God. And that is why prayer is so hard. Prayer is hard, and I can think of two reasons. Both applicable in private and in public. First, prayer is intimacy with God. Have you ever been with someone you do not know quite well? And can you sense the awkward silence as you try to make conversation? It is the same with God. Prayer comes easily when we have an intimate relationship with God. I say when and not if, because God wants to have conversation with all of us. God has promised that he would meet us. So as a child of God, there's no need to justify ourselves before him because of what the Lord Jesus has done for us. So when we do come in this way to God in prayer, the first thing we realize is our own spiritual emptiness. We are so used to being empty that we do not realize the emptiness until we start to try to pray. And we don't feel it until we begin to read what the Bible said about the greatness and promise of prayer. And then we start to feel lonely and hungry when we realize that we need God. When your prayer life starts to flourish, the effects can be remarkable. So we need to be intimate with God. The second reason why prayer is hard, because it reveals who we really are. We will find a new sweetness in Christ, even as we discover some new bitterness too, because prayer will reveal our heart. It will allow us to see our heart more clearly in the light of vital prayer. We will have experiences of God's love as we wrestle to see God's triumph over evil, both in the world, most of the time we see that we pray that way, but we realize that there's evil in our own heart. Let me tell you another story. The story was told of three persons, could be any one of us, I've heard this among ourselves, arguing about the best posture of prayer. And one said, the best posture for praying is standing up and lifting up your hands to God and in prayer. The other one said, no, the best posture for praying is kneeling before God in prayer. The third person said, I'm sorry, but you guys have got it all wrong. The best posture for praying is prostrating yourself on the floor in humble contriteness. I think none of us pray this way, right? Common, we said, kneel down on the pad before us. Huh? Then just then, a telephone repairman who was listening to the conversation spoke and said, excuse me, I couldn't help overhearing your conversation. I don't know much about prayer, but I reckon that the best posture of praying is hanging upside down. Hanging upside down, the three of them asked incredulously, what kind of praying posture is that? Have you all tried? Well, the telephone man said, once I was repairing the phone lines up on the telephone pole, and then I slipped and was hanging upside down. Knowing that I might fall any moment, I pray, Lord, save me. And he did. That's the best posture. We may all laugh, but we got the point, right? The best posture of prayer is the posture of the heart. In summary, it's not a very long message, but it took me more than 2 weeks, and I agonized over how to deliver this message. But I'm glad to see none have fallen asleep. So in summary, prayer is both conversation with God as well as an encounter with God. If prayer is a response first to God's word. If prayer is to be a true conversation with God, it must be preceded by first listening to God's voice. And a conversation with God will lead to an encounter with God. At this point, I want to cite question one of the Shorter Catechism, which was written by the Westminster Assembly when they wrote the Westminster Confession of Faith. Many of us are familiar with question one, right? First question only. I think there are 150 of them. The first question asks, what is the chief end of man? And the answer is, man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever. We say this repetitively. Yeah? I want you all to have new insight as we look into this in the context of what I have just said, conversation and encounter. There are two things here, glorifying God and enjoying Him. These two things doesn't seem to coincide sometimes in our Christian life, but they must be the same thing. They must. Let's look at our text again, the topic text for us, from Job chapter 42, verse 5. It says, I've heard of thee by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes seeth thee. Truly, when we have listened to God's voice, our eyes will be able to see him in better light. Without help from on high, we can say our prayers. Without help from on high, we can say our prayers, but we cannot pray our prayers. Romans chapter 8, verse 26 to 27 will give us new insight into how we ought to pray. Let's turn to Romans chapter 8, verse 26 and 27. Let's read this together. Likewise, the Spirit also helpeth our infirmities, for we know not what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit itself maketh intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. And he that searcheth the hearts knoweth what is the mind of the Spirit, because he maketh intercessions for the saints according to the will of God. This succinctly summarizes what Job mentioned. The Holy Spirit teaches us how to pray as we examine our heart, our own hearts. I have a last question for you all that I want you all to ponder about when you this evening or when you after the service. Do you see prayer as a duty or a delight? I say again, do you see prayer as a duty or a delight? Do you seek to have a conversation with God which lead you to a closer encounter with God, to know him personally, intimately? If you do, then come for the prayer, both privately and corporately. Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, we thank you for your word. Thank you for your desire to want to communicate with us, to draw us closer to you, so that we may be conformed to the image of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Give us the desire to pray with the right attitude, to examine our hearts, so that we may pray and honor you, even with what we asked. May your Holy Spirit convict us of our lack of prayer in our lives and in praying for others. Grant us this desire to draw close to you, for you have said that you will draw close to us as we draw close to you. For we ask all this in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen.